Tim. Thank you. Right on. Good to see you, too. Well, awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm excited to share with you this morning. We're gonna get right to it. So, Jesus, continue to do what you want to do today. Amen. Awesome. Well, it's good to see all of you again. We're going to just jump right in. I'm excited as we've been talking about restore and restoration and that God wants is in the business of restoring. And we, the last few weeks, have talked about positioning ourselves to restore. And for the next few weeks, we're really going to focus on Sunday mornings on positioning ourselves to be in God's presence. And we're going to talk about different aspects of that. So I get to kick it off this morning, and I'm going to talk about preparing to encounter God. That's because we want to prepare for those things. A few weeks ago, I spoke a message on restoring God's glory, and I'm going to kind of continue in that vein this morning. And I said a few weeks ago that God's heart has always been the same. His heart with creating mankind has always been to dwell with his people. Okay, that's it. He didn't create you because he's like, man, I need someone to accomplish some stuff for me, so I'm going to create some humans and make them all robots. No, he created you. Yes, there's work to be done, but he created us so that he can dwell with us. And so I think we need to really capture that this morning, that that is his desire, that throughout history he's looking for a home, a place to dwell. And so his desire is still the same today, right? That he is still looking for a place. And I believe he's looking for people, but he's looking for a church all over the region. But he's looking for a church in Maple Valley that says, God, we're going to prepare ourselves to encounter you. And so we're going to talk about that. You know, you look back through the Bible and you could see when people weren't ready to handle God's presence. They were overwhelmed in not a good way by his presence. People died when they weren't ready, right? Bad things happened. So we want to prepare ourselves to be ready for God's presence. I was thinking about why do we want to be people of his presence? So before I even get to my message, I think it's important that we lay a groundwork. I've been in church my whole life. I've heard a lot of preaching in my life. Many of you have as well. But I can tell you, I've had 6 to 10 moments in my life where I was changed because of the divine presence of God, right? I had those moments, and I could take you back. I could spend all morning talking about those moments where I encountered God. And many of the dreams that I'm walking in today are a result of not a great sermon, not a great song, though we have those, but a presence moment with Jesus. And I think if I look at generational hope and want to be a place for our kids, yeah, I'm going to teach my kids and I'm going to parent my kids. But as a father, I better parent my kids how to get in God's presence. Because I know if there's any hope for my kids, it's not in our government. It's not in that I'm a great dad and my wife's a great mom. It is solely in the fact that they have an encounter with the living God. We've got 50 young people that spent all weekend at winter camp with Pastor Ryan. They're going to have a great time. They probably had a great time. But if they don't encounter the presence of God, it's not going to stick, right? It's not going to stick. Our hope for our kids is the presence of God. And so that's why we want to create a place where God's presence is welcome, is here, where our kids are reverent in God's presence. Here, I could sit at my house all day long, and I could pray, and I could be in God's presence. And I love that. I love spending time with God in the morning with my coffee, both parts. I love Jesus, and I love the coffee. I love the coffee. But I love coming to a place where together we experience the presence of God, right? It's together. It's not just you doing your coffee and Jesus in the morning. It's all of us coming together. And so I think there's a significance of the body coming together, saying, Jesus, we want to be a place that we believe change is going to happen in your presence. In God's presence, there is life. Okay, Isaiah 57:15 says, I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. In the presence of God, there's revival. There's life. Things come alive. And so for our sons and our daughters and for mothers and fathers, we want to find that life in his presence. In his presence, there is rest. Right? And y'all said, I could use some of that. Right? We all need the rest of the Lord. In Exodus 33, it says, the Lord said, I myself will go with you to bring you rest. And so as we are saying, man, we're a busy culture. You know, we need to experience God's rest, and in his presence, there is rest. We said it earlier that in his presence, there is a Psalm 16:11 says, you make known to me the path of life, that in your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. There is joy. I'm not talking temporary happiness, right? I'm talking joy in his presence. I want my kids, I want people that don't know the joy to come and to experience the joy of God's presence. And the last thing is there's God's love is where his presence is. Okay, and it says in John 15:9 that we're called to remain in his love. And so just as we are getting into this series, we want to be a place where God's presence is welcome, where God's presence is what we desire, where God's presence is where we're changed. And so as we talk about this morning, we're really going to be talking about preparing a place to be in God's presence. And so I want to read a decent amount of scripture here, but just a great example of God's people who are ready for an encounter with him. It's in Exodus 19, the first 19 chapters. It's up there for you, so hang with me because I'm going to read fast. Here we go. In the third month after the Israelites' departure from the land of Egypt, on the first day they came to the wilderness. After they made the journey from Rephidim and entered the wilderness of Sinai, they pitched a camp in the wilderness. While Israel was encamped there in front of the mountain, Moses went up to the mountain. Then the Lord called him from the mountain and said, "This is what you will say to the people. You have seen how I treated the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." Verse 5. "Now if you obey me completely, if you keep my covenant, you will be my treasured possession among all the people. Through all the earth is mine." Verse 6. "You will be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation." This is what you must tell the people. So Moses, in verse 7, went and summoned the elders of the people. When he set before them all the Lord had ordered him to tell them, and all the people answered together, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." Then Moses brought back to the Lord the response of the people. Verse 9, the Lord said, "I am coming to you now in a dense cloud, so that when the people hear me speaking, they will remain faithful to you." When Moses then had reported the response of the people to the Lord said, "Go to the people and have them sanctify themselves today and tomorrow. Have them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Sinai in the sight of all the people." Verse 12, "Set limits for the people all around, saying, 'Take care, don't go up to the mountain, don't touch its edge. All who touch the mountain must be put to death. No hand shall touch them, but they must be stoned to death or killed with arrows.'" I don't know if God made it clear. Don't go to the mountain before it's too early. Like, oh, you're going to get hit by arrows, and you're going to die from acid, and meteor's going to hit you, right? It's like, good night. It's very clear. Okay, don't go up before it's time. Okay, only go up when the ram's horn sounds. Then you can go up on the mountain. Then Moses came down from the mountain to the people, and he had them sanctify themselves. They washed their garments, and he said to the people, "Be ready for the third day. Do not approach a woman." Verse 16, "On the morning of the third day, there were peals of thunder and lightning and a heavy cloud over the mountain and a very loud blast of the shofar. So all the people in the camp trembled, but Moses led the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stationed themselves at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke because the Lord had come down in fire. The smoke rose from it as though from a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled violently. The blast of the shofar grew louder and louder while Moses was speaking and God was answering him with thunder." Quite a story, right? Quite a story. I could probably spend a lot of time talking, and you know, you all are going, oh, we're going to talk about the smoke and the fire. We're not going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about the preparation that the people of God went through, because God wants to meet with his people. He wants to encounter us, but he wants us to be prepared. The word prepare, you know, we learn that word from a young age, right? The Boy Scout thing, the Royal Ranger thing, be prepared, right? But the word prepare means to make something ready for use. And I believe the Lord is in a season with our church where he's saying, I'm preparing you to be used by me. I'm preparing you so that you're ready to do what I've called you to do. And I say, Lord, would you make us ready? You know, I think about the word prepare, and as humans, we prepare for a lot of different events, right? I don't know about you, married guys, you didn't just roll out of bed on your wedding day and you prepared. You looked as good as you've ever looked in your life. We prepare for a lot of things, a lot of big days. I was looking back and thinking about different times that I was prepared in life, and unfortunately, different times when I wasn't prepared for life. Like the time that I was 14, and I don't know if my dad was just crazy or something, but I'll never forget being in the Pacific Ocean in a 6-foot raft in the middle of a storm, and we didn't check to see if there was gas in the engine. Right, I still don't know to this day how there's these other two guys driving by. And, not prepared. Sorry about that. You know, not prepared for that. Or the time that I went up to the mountains to get a Christmas tree with my family. And we had shovels and chains and water and food and extra clothes. And unfortunately, that we were the only ones that did that. So they ate all my water and food. And they're like, oh, glad you brought this stuff. Right? I was prepared, but no one else was. Or the time probably when I competed in a Tough Mudder 12-mile obstacle course, like 3 days after I had like kidney stones and a kidney infection. Not prepared. Bad idea, Justin. Oh, that was terrible. Or, this is my favorite, driving home with our firstborn son from Bellevue to here, thinking, they just let us leave. I don't know what to do with this thing. Are they crazy? You know, going 45 miles an hour and everyone's passing you and you're like, why is everyone driving so fast? Well, buddy, you're going 30 miles under the speed limit. Right? Not prepared. Right? Not prepared. You know. So I think about if we, you know, people are prepared for everything. People are prepared for if the power goes out, are prepared for a disaster. And I feel like the Lord is saying that he wants to teach his people, yeah, we get prepared for all these things, but being prepared to encounter his presence. Prepared to handle an encounter with the living God. And so this morning, we're going to talk about being prepared. I love the promise that God gave his people, and we see the promise in Exodus 19, verse 5, and then we see it again in 1 Peter, but it says this. It says, hey, you keep my covenants. Hey, you obey my commands. You do what I've called you to do, and you will be my treasured possession among the people through all the earth. You will be to me a kingdom of priests. You are a holy nation. Okay, and we love the scripture in 1 Peter that says that we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, we've got to remember that God is still after that for his people. That he still looks at you and he says, you are a holy priest, a holy nation, a royal priest. You are his treasured possession. That's still the heart of the Father. And he says, you know what? Keep my commands. Do what I've called you to do. But you're my possession. I love some of the keys in this scripture because I think about a possession, that's something you show off, isn't it? You want to see my treasured possession? God says, I want to show you off before the world. I love the priests, and I've always thought, God, what do you mean when you call us your royal priests? Well, in the Old Testament, the priests were the ones who got to go in God's presence on behalf of the people. Right? No one, the common folk, weren't allowed to go, but the priests were. Well, in the New Testament, God says, you are the priest. That means a lot, but that also means that we get to be recipients of being in God's presence. It's not just for the select few. It's for you. It's for me. It's for all of us that we are his priests. And I love that we get to come to his throne room and be in his presence. So in light of all these promises of who we are, we're going to prepare ourselves, hopefully more than just this morning, but we're going to prepare ourselves this morning. Number one, God said this to Moses. He said, consecrate the people today. Hope you caught that in the scripture. Consecrate the people. That means to set them apart. That's what the word consecrate means, to set apart or to be separate. So God's saying, you as my people are set apart. Okay, when we talk set apart, we really got two different things here. We're set apart from something, okay, from something. And number two, we're set apart to something. Okay, so when I say, you know, be set apart, you're all thinking, oh, you're going to talk about what we can't do. Well, no, not necessarily. But I look at the call of Samson in the Bible. And Samson, when he was in his mother's womb, God spoke to his mom and said, this boy is to be set apart before me. And then God said, you don't shave his head, right? Don't cut his hair. He's not supposed to eat anything unclean, right? There were some stipulations. And it wasn't like, oh, just have these stipulations that you can't do. The reason he had the stipulations was because he was set apart. So sometimes we're set apart from some things. So God may say things to me that may be different from you. And God may say, Justin, you are set apart, and so stay away from this. And we are people who need to be set apart from some things that God's calling us to be. Okay? We're different. We're consecrated. The second thing is we are set apart to something. It's not just, well, if I just abstain from everything evil, I'm going to make it. That's not the point. Right? I am set apart from some things, but I am set apart to someone. I am set apart to the Holy of Holies, Jesus himself. Okay, I look at the call of the Levites in the Old Testament. They're a tribe. They were set apart to do God's work. Right? They were the ones that ushered people into God's presence. They weren't just like, just part of the normal church, just come. No, they were set apart for a specific plan and purpose from God. So we're not just set apart from something, but I believe that each one of us in this room is set apart to someone and something specific. That God has said, I have created you with this DNA to accomplish these things. You have a specific purpose and plan. You're set apart. Okay? We're set apart from something and to something. I think it's interesting in this scripture, the Israelites have just come out of captivity 3 months prior. 3 months prior to this story, they are slaves. Okay? 3 months isn't that long ago. All right? We were like eating turkey roughly 3 months ago, doing the turkey thing, right? That's just a little bit ago. I still remember those things. So these people that were slaves have just come out of it 3 months ago. And I guarantee you that while they were slaves 3 months prior, they probably thought, this is our lot forever. I was born a slave. I'm going to die a slave. My kids are going to be slaves. Unfortunately, we're just going to die a young age because we're getting beat hard. This is our lot in life. I guarantee you that they did. And I think sometimes, even today, the Lord wants to remind us that though you may feel like a slave today, though you may feel like the thing that you're walking through in your life is just it, we need to be reminded that we are set apart to a specific purpose. And those things that may feel like bondage to you are not going to be bondage forever. They're not going to be bondage forever. And I think we need to understand that this morning, that it's so easy to just accept the life and the things that we have, but we forget that God has a greater plan and a greater purpose. And we need to encourage ourselves by that this morning and daily as we go through life, right? That God has set you apart for a high calling. Now, I'm not saying you're better than those, but I'm saying you're different, right? There's a distinction. So the reminder had to come to them, okay? The reminder came to them and said, consecrate yourselves. Listen, I don't know why God uses imperfect people. but he does. I look back through the Old Testament, and there are things that God called holy that I probably wouldn't call holy. Okay? But here's the deal. God calls me holy. God calls you holy. And I don't know if I'd call us holy all the time. Right? I know too many of you, right? You know me. Ah! Right? But God calls us holy. So back through the Old Testament, when God said, David's mighty men are holy, you know what? They were holy, they were empowered, and they were different. Not because they were these great fighters, because God called them holy. That's what made the difference. Because God put a stamp of holiness on us. And God has put a stamp on us today. Amen? He's put a stamp of holiness. And yeah, you shouldn't be called holy, but he calls you holy. And that means you've got a greater purpose. You are set apart for something more. It doesn't matter your past or your current struggles. If God calls you holy, you are holy. Amen. Amen. And the path of life might look different for you than it does for others. But remember, we're set apart. People who want to be in God's presence are set apart. God's called us to be set apart from the world and be set apart to him. So number one, consecrate yourself. Number two, this one's kind of weird. Wash your clothes. Okay, and some of you are like, Pastor Justin, please, at least take a shower, man. Right? Wash your clothes. It's kind of like, what do you mean, wash your clothes? I've heard it preached. Well, that means we're all supposed to wear suits to church. I don't know about that. Right? I'm not wearing one. Wash it. But I do think if you look at this, this is a very powerful truth. Why would God call them to wash their clothes? Okay? Washing their clothes was a symbol of being pure before God. It's a symbol of purity before the Lord. So wash your clothes. Come to me purely and rightly. I'm not telling you this morning to come to God perfect, because that's not what it means. Because good luck with that. But it says, come to the Lord with right motives. Come to the Lord with a pure heart, with right desires. Come to him with a pure heart. Okay? That's what it really means. Okay? It also, and I love this, but if you look up the word wash, it literally means to tread. They didn't have GE and Kenmore and, you know, washing machines, and they had what they called tread. So to wash means to tread. Okay, and what I picture is when they washed their clothes, they would put them under their feet, right? And they would tread on the clothes, right? Because again, purity is wash. Okay, so they would tread those things under their feet. Whatever it was dirty, pick it up. Is it pure yet? Nope. Keep treading. And I feel like the Lord is telling us it's time to tread. Right? It's time to take some of those unpure motives, those negative desires, those things that aren't right before the Lord. And the Lord says, I want to make them pure. And so get them under your feet and start treading. You may come to your wife with a terrible attitude, but you know what? Get that thing under your feet and start treading until your desire is pure and your desire is right. Okay? Tread. You know what? Some of you are in the middle of treading. I want to encourage you. What God sees as pure white is worth it. And God wants to make our hearts and our desires pure white. So you know what? Some of you got to tread a lot. Some of you got to tread a little. But tread those things under your feet, right? Get rid of those things, because God has some great things in store for us. I think it's really interesting that they would wash their clothes for big days, right? I'm glad they would do that, right? They wanted to smell nice and, you know, be presentable before the Lord. But I think it's really interesting. There was a lot of, for ceremonies, they would wash their clothes before, like, big days, just like hopefully you and I do most of the time anyways. But I think it's really interesting, because I was thinking, Lord, what significance does that have to us today? And they would tread those things for ceremonies. And I really felt like the Lord specifically said to me that there is ideas and traditions and religious traditions, ceremony, that the Lord says, those aren't bad and it's good to have traditions, but there's some mindsets in my people that need to be treaded and made pure and made right. Because who am I to judge how the King of Kings is going to speak? And so the Lord said, I want to see some religion, some negative religion traditions that the Bible says that nullifies God's word. I want to see some of those things pure and made right and made new. God's not just after making us look good from the outside. Well, hey, as long as people can't see through, right? No, God's after making it pure in here. As Ezekiel says, a new heart with new and right desires. But God wants to cleanse some of those negative traditions, some of those religious traditions that I have, that sometimes we all have. And it's by his divine work. It's not just an outside thing. That's why it's not outside appearance. But God wants to get to the motive of the heart. Okay, the second part of washing your clothes is, the point was you want to give God your best. I teach my kids all the time, you just come to God. Because God will take you as you are, but God wants what he died for. Right? He wants the best. He wants what he paid for. And so, yes, come as you are to the Lord, but you know, I want to be found as I walk through this process and walk with the Lord. I want to be found giving God my best. Right? I want to be found giving him not the leftovers. Okay, God, sorry about a little short this time. No, God, I want to give you my best, because I want to honor you. So wash your clothes. Okay, and I love the scripture in Psalms 51 that says, you know what, God's not going to despise a broken heart. So Father, we come to you with pure desire, Father, and believe that your presence is going to change us. So wash your clothes. Just don't take it too personal. Okay, number three, I love this one. The third thing in preparing to encounter God was to set boundaries for the people. I think he was pretty clear about this one in the scripture, right? Remember, this was the one like, don't go near the mountain. You're going to die from an arrow and a meteor and natives and whatever else, right? I was like, okay, God, get the point. Got it, right? Set boundaries for the people. Okay, and they did that. I believe that as we are learning to encounter the Lord would say to set boundaries in your life. I don't like that word boundary because I think of law, I think of rule. You don't tell me what to do. But I love the real definition of boundary, and I think of the word guidelines. When I think of guidelines, I think of power lines. I'm weird. Okay? I look at the incredible power that's in power lines, right? Misguided, not guided, they can create some damage, can't they? But I look at the power poles, the things that support the power, that take them around the obstacle, around the development, okay? And it's those guidelines that directs the power to where it needs to go. Right, you and I are called to be people that have guidelines in our life, boundaries that keep us going down the path that God's called us to go down. You know, one of the things I love to do in ministry is I love to do premarital counseling. It's like really fun. Not because I have a perfect marriage at all, but it's because we can tap into Jesus. And I love to tell couples because they all come in and they're like, you know, we're not going to get divorced. And I'm like, well, that's good. I'm glad. But then it's like, well, why aren't you going to get divorced? Well, it's just because. Okay. But what I love to talk about, I say, the reason that I know that my wife and I are going to continue to live a fulfilled, successful marriage isn't because we're perfect. She may be. But it's because we have guidelines in our marriage that keep us going down the path that we want to go down. Okay, we have those guidelines. You know, people ask me all the time, hey, Pastor Justin, how many times have you slept on the couch in your marriage? And I say, none. I make my wife. I'm just kidding. No, I say none. Why? Because we said 11 years ago that we weren't going to go to bed angry at each other, that we were going to at least get to the point where I could lay next to her and she could lay next to me. So the couch thing, we have never practiced habits of fleeing. When I get mad, I never say, well, I'm going to go then. No, Because that is a seed of divorce. And so we put boundaries in plus, as we heard earlier. I've got about six or eight at least iron sharpens iron buddies that I know would break my neck, right? They'd say, what are you doing? But it's a boundary, right? And that we are called to be people that have boundaries that keep us serving and going down the path that we want to go down. Does that make sense? So what are the boundaries that you have in your life that keep you on the path, right? What is it about your prayer life or your personal time with the Lord or who's speaking into your life that's helping you uphold your convictions, your beliefs, right? Those are boundaries, right? God wants us to be people that have boundaries that keep us going down the path. So set boundaries for your life. Number four. This one's crazy. And he's so abrupt in the story. He says this: set aside distractions. Get rid. But he says, don't go near a woman. That's what our text says. Don't go near a woman. Well, are women bad? No. Right? They are not bad. But God was telling his people, I want to encounter you. So men, stay away from your wives. Stay away for a minute, a little bit, more than a minute. Stay away, because I'm about to encounter you. Right? So husbands, don't go, hey, Pastor Justin said I could tell you to stay away. Get thee behind me, woman. No. No. But what I'm saying is that there are distractions in our life, and distractions come in all forms. They come in good forms, like a two-month-old, a four-year-old, a six-year-old, and an eight-year-old. But I tell you, trying to get into the presence of God with one kicking your shins, the other one holding you, the other one spitting up, that's a distraction, right? That's a distraction. But God said, in the midst of life, I want to encounter you, okay? So whether it's a good distraction like your kiddos or it's a bad distraction like squirrel or whatever it is. I don't know. I don't know what the distraction is, right? But I know in life there are plenty of things that want to keep us from experiencing the presence of God. And some of them are very good things. But God said, you can still find my presence even with a four-year-old kicking your shins while you're trying to worship. You know, it's interesting. My wife and I were talking, and I know many of you young moms and young families are in the boat where you go, why do we even come to church? Because I sit in a back mother's room, and I don't see anyone. Why? I don't get experience worship because I'm getting kicked in the shins. Why do I come to church? Why? And I feel like the Lord would say to those of you in that season, whatever your distraction is, that even in the midst of that chaos, he wants to encounter you. Even in that short season of life you're in now, to push through those things and find God's presence. Yeah, even if you're, you know, wiping faces and preparing meals, whatever you're doing, that even in those moments, that God wants to encounter you. I believe that this morning. Even in the midst of life, I've heard too many couples, well, we'll come back to church when our kids are 12. I still am back yet, and I'm doing weddings for their kids now, right? Lord, help us. Even in the midst of life, God wants to encounter us, but he says, even corporately, get rid of the distractions. What keeps you from pursuing my presence? What is it? You know, for me, I tell you, it's my head, right? It's my mind, right? The mind that just, God, I want to focus on you and, you know, thinking of what to do and this and that. But God, even in the midst of this, Lord, I want to encounter you. I want to encounter you. So today, whatever is distracting you from encountering God, I want to encourage you to don't let those things distract you for long. Right, but to prepare ourselves, as the Lord is saying, I want to come and I want to show up in smoke and, you know, fire and all these great things. I want to give you life-changing encounters. Get prepared. Set yourself apart because you are. Get pure before the Lord. Set boundaries in your life and get rid of distractions. So would you, we're going to dismiss here in a minute, but can you stand with me this morning? I just want to pray over us before we go, because I really felt like the next few weeks as we're going to be talking about being in God's presence and encountering Him and different aspects of it, I really felt like the Lord said to prepare the people. And so we want to be prepared to go into His presence. So would you pray with me this morning and then we'll dismiss. But Father, I thank You this morning that You've set us apart. Father, that You've called us Your holy people. You've called us priests. You've called us Your treasure. Father, thank You for that. Father, we want to be those people that are Your treasure. We want to be those ones who go into Your presence. Father, we want to be those people. Father, I thank You that You've said to be prepared. Father, we do want to be a people that are prepared to encounter You. Father, I pray for that revelation, God, that we are set apart to You. And I pray for anyone that is struggling with that this morning, that they would know, that they know, that they know that You have called them and You have set them apart. Father, that You are the one that has said, I've got a special call and promise for your life. Father, we as a people want to be pure before You. Father, we want to approach You with pure and right desires. Father, I pray that we as people would get the art of treading. Father, that those mindsets, those ideas, Father, even some of those religious traditions, Father, that we would tread those things until our motives are pure. Father, thank You for boundaries. That God, that You've called us to be people of principle and guidelines in our life that keep us on the track. Father, I pray for those that are struggling in this area, Father, that You would put the right guidelines and boundaries in place. Father, that You would put the right people in place that said, I'm going to walk with You. And Father, we don't want to be a people distracted. Father, forgive us, Father, for whatever it is. But Father, we want to, in the midst of life, in the midst of distractions, both good and bad, Father, we want to be people that can still find Your presence. Father, I pray an extra grace on young moms and single moms. Father, those that there's always multiple distractions around them. Father, I pray an extra grace. Father, that in the midst of busyness and single parenting and raising young ones and keeping them alive, keeping them fed in the midst of those seasons, Father, would the mothers and fathers experience Your presence. Father, we love You today. Father, today as we go, would we go preparing ourselves to encounter You? God, I thank You that You want to encounter us. Father, encounter us today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to continue to be people of His presence. So go. God bless you. You're released. Until next time, we'll see you. Thanks.